Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Now, from Tel Aviv to Toronto, a growing number of Christian messianic groups like Jews for Jesus have been stepping up efforts to reach out to Jews, even targeting soldiers in the IDF and congregations in Israel. In response, Jews for Judaism International, that was founded in 1985 by Rabbi Bension Kravitz, has become a global voice defending Jewish identity and offering support to those who feel pulled towards other faiths. Today, Rabbi Kravitz is joining us to share what's happening right now and why this struggle matters and how it's shaping Jewish life in our modern world. Rabbi Bension Kravitz, founder and CEO of Jews for Judaism International, thanks so much for joining us here on The Home Run. Are missionary groups really gaining ground, and are they gaining ground in Israel? And if so, why now?
Well, hi. Yes, they are gaining ground, not just in places like America and England and France and South Africa, because we know that there are missionary activity there, but also in Israel. You know, Israel has always been a center for Christianity to try to establish themselves as being in control. But since the establishment of the State of Israel, you know, missionary groups have felt a desire and a need to convert Jews, because they feel that theologically that will hasten the return of Jesus. So they have this psychological and theological, you know, need to do it. So missionaries are raising millions and millions of dollars to set up organizations here that are preying on American tourists, foreign tourists, and Israelis who are not that involved spiritually. So yes, Jews for Jesus has a center with over 50 employees that work to missionize. There are over 300 different missionary centers in Israel. How effective are they? A study done by one of the news stations here said that there are already over 20,000 Israelis who've converted to Christianity.
And that would be over a period of what?
Well, currently, at this point right now in Israel, there's over 20,000 Israelis who identify themselves as Yehudim Mishichim, Messianic Jews.
Why does Israel, sorry, Rabbi, to interrupt, but unless this is an ignorant question, but why does Israel allow that, or does it fall under freedom of religion?
I think it definitely, in a democracy, it falls under freedom of religion. People talk about there being a law against proselytizing, but there really isn't a strong law. The only law on the book says that you can't offer monetary inducements to get someone to convert. But as far as I know, that's never, ever been enforced or prosecuted by anyone. It's an issue of, in a democracy that wants to value the freedom of religion, it gives people, you know, the choice to do things that Judaism disagrees with. I mean, there are cults here also in Israel that function, and unless they're doing something dangerous or illegal, they're not going to be stopped. The only way to stop them is, you know, there's a famous Talmudic statement that says the mouse is not the thief, the hole in the wall is. So if you have a mouse coming in your house and stealing your cheese, don't get angry at the mouse if you left a hole open.
Exactly.
So if we have this emptiness, or if we're not being warm to people, if we're not showing them the meaning and spirituality of Judaism, so they're going to look somewhere else. And unfortunately, there's a lot of secular and assimilated Israelis that are distant from Jewish faith.
How do these people get into Israel in the first place? I mean, were they Jews? Are they Christians? I mean, how do they find themselves to be in Israel in the beginning?
Well, some of them are actually Israelis, citizens who were born here. The CEO of Jews for Jesus, who was interviewed by the Jerusalem Post, his parents were Israeli, and he is an Israeli citizen, fought in the Israeli army. There are other Israelis who've accepted Jesus that have been funded by American missionaries to create their organizations there. I mean, here. There are also others, tourists that come here all the time as missionaries that you know, go on street corners and go on the light rail and preach to people. But you know, with the accessibility of social media and reaching people through the internet, you know, you can proselytize anywhere in the world and get right inside people's homes.
Who's behind all of this? I mean, where does the money come from?
Well, in the United States, for example, the estimate is that there are between 50 and 60 million evangelical Christians.
Wow.
And the term evangelical means that they believe in sharing the gospel with people. But let's say that only 10%, which is a very low figure, of 60 million are really zealous for doing that. So that's 6 million people that have the potential of being spoken to in a church, because a lot of these messianic groups and Jews for Jesus and others, they go and they go on tours, speaking tours in churches in the United States, raising money and getting pastors and churches to adopt them and send them funding. But so they have tremendous support from the evangelical church.
Would you say that these evangelical Christians are part of these messianic groups?
No, they're supporters of the messianic groups. They're not necessarily messianic themselves.
Okay.
They may have members in their church that are Jewish, but they're not messianic congregations. But there are messianic and Jews for Jesus organizations, like Jews for Jesus, like Chosen People Ministries, that send over missionaries to work here in Israel.
Rabbi, how does Jews for Judaism support someone who's already been influenced? And what does the path back look like?
So when we are contacted by an individual that's in the group, it's usually because they're challenging us to almost an online debate. And our approach is to not ignore them, but to not simply try to go tit for tat over arguments, but to build up a relationship and show them respect and show them the beauty of Judaism. Mm. Oftentimes, when we take that softer approach, it opens them up to having a more meaningful dialogue and to think critically. More likely, it is a rabbi of a congregation that has heard about someone that is involved. Excuse me, or it's a parent that's calling us or contacting us for help, and we approach it in two ways. If we can speak to the individual that has accepted Christianity, that's great. Otherwise, we're giving support to the family, showing them how to speak to their kids, showing them how to set a better example for what Judaism stands for, and that way, you know, parents don't have to feel helpless. There's something that they can do. So we're giving them guidelines about how to help their children to think critically. We're encouraging them to set a better example in their own Jewish life. We're sending them resources to share with their loved ones. Our website, JewsForJudaism.org, has hundreds and hundreds of educational videos we get over 1 million views a year from people all over the world. And many of the people that have watched our videos have had an epiphany and left Christianity because of what they learned there. You know, plus we have literature and books. And I want to thank you. More recently, you interviewed me about my new book,
Which was really interesting. It was really interesting talking to you about that.
Well, thank you. So that's the approach. The approach is pro Judaism and pro-Jewish education.
Rabbi, what's the one tactic that these groups use that you find the most concerning or deceptive?
Number one, they claim that they just believe that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, and they're not being honest in saying that they also believe that Jesus is God. In fact, the original founder of Jews for Jesus wrote in a booklet on how to convert Jews that you shouldn't talk about Jesus's divinity at first, because he knew it was something that would turn people off.
Wow.
He said, wait until later to talk about it. Wow. And you see this in articles and interviews all the time that they're saying, well, even in the article in the Jerusalem Post about Jews for Jesus, the author of the article said, well, Messianic Jews believe in that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. I wrote a comment to the article online saying, yeah, but you left out the point that they believe that he's God. This is the, you know, in America where you have multiple denominations of Judaism and they disagree on a lot of things. One thing they universally agree upon is that when you deify a human being, when you say that God takes on a bodily form, when you say that God is divided into a trinity, that's not Judaism anymore. That's Christianity.
Yeah.
And that didn't come from Judaism. It originated in Greek and Roman mythology and was adopted by Constantine when the Nicene Council met and they adopted these beliefs into Christianity. It's not a Jewish concept. But the second deceptive thing is, in order to validate those beliefs, they misuse and misquote both biblical and rabbinical sources. They read them out of context. They fabricate some passages. They fabricated a passage from the Zohar in the Kabbalah.
The knowledge is so important.
Right. But they say that the Zohar says that the reason God's name is three times in the Hero Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, because it represents God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they quoted from the Zohar. But it's totally non-existent.
Rabbi,
it's a total fabrication.
We're running out of time, but there's one last question want to ask you is, how has the digital age changed missionary outreach and your fight against it?
I think I touched upon this earlier. I think the way it's changed is, whereas missionaries used to stand on street corners and it was hit and miss who would talk to them, now they are reaching our children inside their dormitory rooms at college, inside their homerooms. They're on the internet, they're on their phone, and there's ads that are popping up all the time on Facebook and Twitter and on social media, and that's how they're able to read. And it's just repetitive over and over again. And at that one moment where maybe the person is going through a difficult time in their life, that pops up and it's giving them some kind of spiritual offering of support, that's the one time they're open to looking at that ad. So I think that it has, unfortunately, along with other things on the internet, there's a dark side of the internet and there's a beautiful side
exactly.
of the internet.
Exactly.
But the dark side, I would have to say that the missionaries, I personally would say that deceptive missionary activity is part of that dark side. And it's infiltrated into people's homes. And we need to strengthen people and educate them. And that's really the mission of Jews for Judaism. So I hope that all your listeners will take advantage of our website. Nothing on it. We don't charge for anything that they take from our website. And it's all free and they can download information and watch videos.
And that website again was jewsforjudaism.org. Am I right?
Yes, jewsforjudaism.org.
ORG, Rabbi Bencion Kravitz, the founder and CEO of Jews for Judaism International. A very interesting topic and a little bit alarming. Thank you for what you do and thank you for sharing some of your insights with us here on The Home Run.
If you or a loved one are blind, have low vision, or have a print disability that makes reading standard print difficult, JBI Library is here to connect you to Jewish life, learning, and culture. We offer thousands of Jewish interest large print, audio, and braille materials, all free of charge. Learn more at jbilibrary.org or call 1-800-433-1531.